Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
Today we have a special edition of the Old Masters series. What I did is I've convened a board meeting of six of our favorite Old Masters: David Ogilvy, Victor Schwab, Joe Sugarman, Gene Schwartz, Claude Hopkins, and John Caples. Now, if you've read Think and Grow Rich, you know how Napoleon Hill used to have these imaginary meetings with dead presidents. Remember that? Well, this one's like that, but it's a little different. I've actually taken quotes from six of these old masters. I can barely lift it. It's so heavy. These are the books, and I've organized them into three categories to answer this question, which was ahead of all of their times. The question is, how can you improve the quality and response of your video ads on Facebook, YouTube, and TikTok? Assuming that by the time this episode airs, we still have a TikTok in the United States, and the rest of the world anyway, you guys have it. You'll be surprised and maybe too delighted to find out these guys had some wisdom that they published before there was even an internet that applies 100% today, and we'll show you how. Because some things never change, like this. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast. Most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and if you're writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So, Nathan, today's Old Masters board meeting idea came about after I answered a question in a LinkedIn forum, and the question was about copywriters. Do copywriters need to update their skills? And this is what I posted. The basic copywriting skills never really change, but the format you use them in changes. For example, we used to have classified ads in newspapers. Now we have Google ads. The rules are different, but the same skills and principles apply completely. What this means is you need to learn the fundamentals and then spend your time updating your skills on applying the fundamentals to the new formula. People buy the benefits they think will help them the most. That hasn't changed. But today, with so much video and a lot of the way you convey benefits, it's as much visual as it is verbal. So you need to learn to communicate visually. Still, the underlying thinking, the human psychology of buying, remains the same. And so now we are going to convene the first meeting of the Old Masters board. And, you know, if I were Napoleon Hill, I'd say, so, you know, Ogilvy sits down, pulls out his can of Prince Albert, tamps it into his pipe and lights it with a torch. And Vic Schwab says to him, hey, when I said put that in your pipe and smoke it, that's not what I was thinking. And Ogilvy glares at him. But we're not going to do that. We're going to just ask the question. Ask the board three questions and then apply their answers to video. Okay?
Okay.
So the first question for the board is, what advice would you have for copywriters regarding the beginning of a sales message? Mr. Ogilvy has raised his hand. He says, on the average, five times as many people read the headline as read the body copy. When you have written your headline, you have spent 80 cents of your dollar. And in actuality, he said that in Confessions of an Advertising Man, great book. Now, we want to point out Mr. Ogilvy was an advertising man, not an accountant, so his math is a little off. It's actually 82 cents of and a half of your dollar, but no matter. Videos, this means put time into getting a great hook and opening. Nothing else matters. And if you can't grab them in the first place, you've wasted what you're paying for the click. or mm-hmm. just for the view. And we're going to get to a different comment from Joe Sugarman in a minute. He's also a member of this esteemed board. But friend of the podcast, Don Hauptman, sent me the review or the write-up of a private talk that Sugarman gave to a direct marketing club in New York, and also an article he'd written for Direct Magazine. And one thing that Sugarman said is everything in his ad, in terms of the design, in terms of the layout, everything in the ad is designed to get the reader to read that first sentence, right? And, you know, one more thing, and then let's talk about this a little bit more. Yesterday, I was working with a client who has made a lot of money and spent a lot of money to make a lot more money with advertising. We spent an hour and a half coming up with a new headline and a new opening sentence for a landing page that got traffic driven from a Facebook ad. And he said that an improvement of 5 percentage points in the response rate to the landing page will make a huge difference in that funnel's profitability for the company. So we didn't spend a whole lot of time or any time on the call to action or what was inside the landing page, but the headline and the opening sentence, that was really important. Now, you know, in terms of videos, I mean, same thing, right? You got, what, 10 seconds, 5 seconds? Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Well, on Facebook, you have almost no time sometimes because the ads will fly by, and if they're not auto audio on, then nobody pays attention to them at all. So there's that disadvantage. TikTok, same thing. Your ads, they can instantly scroll away from your ads. A fifth of a second, they can get rid of your ad. YouTube is a little bit more favorable towards us advertisers. They have to watch at least 5 seconds of the ad and the audio is already on. But yeah, yeah, if you're not grabbing people's attention, and more, that includes visual. So you've got to do something visual to grab their attention. Maybe have subtitles that are popping up on the screen so that if the audio's off, they can still see the message. Yes, with video, that first sentence is more important than ever. And you have to take into consideration that the audio might be off. So you have to figure out another way to grab attention and get them to pay attention to the first sentence as well.
Yeah, and that's what I mean by learning to think visually. You know, when I first started copywriting about 30 years ago, sort of like a second career for me, right? I never thought that you would have to have the skills of a movie director or, you know, a movie editor, film editor, but you do now to some degree. All right, I see Mr. Sugarman has raised his hand. He says, your headline and subheadline must grab the reader and create enough curiosity to get the reader to the first sentence. So basically in video, that's like saying the opening image has to get them to, you know, get them to be interested enough in your first message. And, you know, what Joe is saying here is so important. Curiosity is king. Mm-hmm. If you're making them curious about something in your offer, that's all you need to do. But if what you say makes them curious about where you're going, that's fine. But if you use what people call a pattern interrupt, which really has nothing to do with where you're going to go, but it's just supposed to get attention, that can work. But then if you're using that pattern interrupt, you need a good transition from the point to where you satisfy the curiosity from the pattern interrupt to where you begin your sales message.
I see a lot of people use pattern interrupts and they don't do that. And then it ends up feeling like that clickbaity feeling where you click on something and you don't get what you wanted. So it leaves you with a bad feeling about the ad. If you're going to use the pattern interrupt, do what David said. Make sure that it actually transitions to the point where you're trying to get people to go.
Yeah, requires a little thought. Oh, I see Mr. Caples has something to say. He says, many readers or listeners are lost by a poorly worded first sentence or by a wrong construction of the first paragraph. How do you avoid this? And he has also said that in the book, Making Ads Pays. He has 10 ways to not lose the reader in the first sentence in the book. And here are three ideas that work really well for scripting a sales video. Continue the thought in the headline. Use the you approach, talk directly to the viewer and start with a testimonial. Hmm. You've really only got a few seconds, and Caples points out this major problem. If you just start rambling about something that's interesting to you and your viewer can't follow it or doesn't find it relevant or interesting, then you've lost them.
That third one, start with a testimonial. I don't think I've ever even thought of that before, but I'm having a bunch of inspirational moments in my head right now. So thanks for bringing that to my attention.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I've seen testimonials above, you know, sort of as the eyebrow above the headline, but I've never really seen it as a lead or I've seen it as a headline. So anyway, yeah, it's a counterintuitive thought and it's really good. I mean, the bottom line for this first part about the opening of your video is this: the opening of your video is the gateway to getting a click or making a sale. Keep the gate as wide open as possible.
I love it.
All right. So we've got another question for the board. What would you say about what makes the middle of a sales message effective? Oh my goodness. The crankiest member of the board, Claude Hopkins, has something for us. He says, "The power of demonstration is mighty. The reason lies in the fact that it convinces where argument fails." And that's from Scientific Advertising. And so I would say Claude Hopkins has zeroed in on the ultimate application of show, don't tell for a marketer who makes videos. Now, of course, you have to tell, but showing how a product works in a demonstration, how well it works, that will win you over a lot of prospects.
I'm going to jump in real quick. With video and the accessibility of video to the average business owner nowadays, that's a huge one. I remember the commercials from when I was a kid. Look, we can cut through a steel can, and then we can still slice through a tomato. Or this vacuum sucks so much. Wait, this vacuum sucks so good. It can lift a bar. I don't know how to word this.
Vacuum sucks, but not in that way.
Yeah, you can lift a bowling ball with the suction power. But that visual, especially in the middle of the infomercial where I was starting to kind of get a little bit bored, but now all of a sudden you're slicing through tomatoes after you slice through a steel can, or you're lifting an entire bowling ball with the suction power. We have that ability in video ads, and that's something that we didn't really have if we're just using text-based ads.
That's right, because it's really hard to have a sequence of still pictures or even a realistic drawing that's going to have nearly the same effect. Mm. Oh, I see Mr. Schwab has recovered from his bout of silliness about Mr. Ogilvy's pipe, and he has something to say. Performance evidence includes the achievements of the product in actual use. Okay, that's a little stiff, but man, that's powerful. So I think what he's getting at here is you might not even use a demonstration like we were talking about, the bowling ball or the knife. But even if you do, consider taking some time to go beyond just showing the performance to talking about or showing how the product actually works. And more important, the kind of results people get from it. No matter how many times copywriters and marketers hear this, that they need to focus on benefits rather than features, it's just too tempting to focus only on features, even though no one else cares about the features. In most cases, they care about what the feature will do for them. Mm-hmm. And that's why performance evidence, including the achievement of the product in actual use, is so important.
All right, I see Mr. Schwartz is raising his hand now.
Yes, Mr. Schwartz has an instruction for, you know, he's sort of the teacher at the table. He says, put the product in action for your reader to show not only how the product looks but and what benefits it gives the reader, but exactly how it does that. And, you know, what he's talking about here is the mechanism, right? I mean, this is similar to what Claude Hopkins said, but Hopkins said it in more general global terms. And Mr. Schwartz is now talking about demonstrating the mechanism, which, if unique, has a high value to the prospect when you explain it in a compelling way. People want the same thing, but they want something different. And a mechanism, a better mechanism, a different mechanism, that always works really well.
I think also if the biggest objection that you're trying to overcome with your market is skepticism and healthy skepticism, using this approach will help me. Okay, now I see how it works. Now I'm convinced that it works. When you were just telling me it would get me these great results, I was kind of skeptical. But now that you've shown me the mechanism of how it works, okay, I buy it. I get it.
Yeah, it's the ultimate drilling down into benefits in a way and demonstration. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the bottom line for question number two is no one is in love with your product the way you are, but they might be interested in what it can do for them and how it works and how it delivers results. Mm-hmm. I want to take a moment to point out how vitally important headlines are in copy. As you may already know, the strength of your headline accounts for up to 80 or even 90% of the effectiveness of your ad. Think about that. What if there were a way to shortcut the headline writing process and start a new headline based on a proven winner? Well, there is. It's all in my book called Advertising Headlines That Make You Rich. This book is available now on Amazon.com. Advertising Headlines That Make You Rich. What's unique about this book is it shows you exactly how to adapt a proven winner to your product or service, because I show you 10 adaptations for each headline in different niches and explain the psychology of how to adapt a headline. Advertising Headlines That Make You Rich, in hard copy and Kindle formats on Amazon. Now, back to our show. And we have a third question for the board. What do you have to say about the closing of the sales message? Mr. Cable's hands shoots up and he says, the closing paragraph of an ad is important. To sell or not to sell may depend on how effective you are at the finish. Notice that Mr. Caples is getting a little poetic here, sort of an allusion to Hamlet, to sell or not to sell. We like that. Okay, so I have a personal memory of something that I think really fits into, you know, what he said. And that is, I remember once getting a postcard advertising a sales training course. You know what postcards are. They used to come in the mail. They're these little, when people had mail. And it said, 82% of salespeople don't close. So I ran that by a sales trainer friend at the time, and he said, that's not true. And I asked why. He said, the number's too low. A lot of people get timid or weak when it comes time to do the close. There are a lot of reasons for that. We're not going to talk about the reasons, but understand, to be successful in getting the sale, you have to be strong and bold in your close.
What I think about this is, in person, it's difficult to get to the point where you actually have to ask for money. And a lot of times we think as copywriters, well, I'm not doing it in person, so it'll be no problem. But those same psychological hangups will show through. And potential customer, they feel that. And they feel when you lack the confidence. And then that makes them lose confidence as well. And that's true whether you're selling in person, in a sales letter, or on video.
Yeah, absolutely. So Mr. Sugarman would like to add something. He says, all your copy is flowing logically to the last part of the ad where you ask for the order. And, you know, one thing I mentioned about Joe Sugarman when we were doing a podcast about him a few weeks ago is this is a guy who really had a lot more on the line than most of these other guys. They were agency guys. They were essentially contractors to advertisers. Joe Sugarman, it was his own money. It was his own business. So the stakes were higher. His feet were more to the fire. And so he probably, plus he was trained as an engineer, as was Mr. Caples, but he really felt compelled to come up with the most efficient ways. And he's talking about a chain of logic here. And, you know, that quote is from the Adweek Copywriting Handbook. All your copy is flowing logically to the last part of the ad where you ask for the order. Chain of logic, chain of beliefs is, you know, we've covered that before, and there's lots of other information out there about it. But in short, this process is, you start at the end asking, what does my prospect have to believe to want to buy this? And then you work backwards. What does my prospect have to believe that? And so forth. So after you've constructed a sleek chain of beliefs, don't forget to ask for the order or the click at the very end.
Joe Sugarman was great at this. Also, Joe Schrieffer is amazing at this as well.
Joe Shreveport is amazing. Yeah. And he's still alive. So he would have to come to Young Masters board meeting if he ever did that. Okay. But Mr. Schwab has something to say that is like so important. And this is really important in a video because they're, you know, their hands might not even be at the keyboard when they're watching. He says, no matter what form of action you ask your reader to take, make this action as simple and easy and specific as you can. And that's from How to Write a Good Advertisement. Mm. I would boil this down to a very quick formula. S equals S. Simple equals sales. Mm. If a prospect is excited about what you're offering, you don't want to make them slow down and figure out what they have to do to buy. Make it so simple that a child with a credit card could do it.
I will say that this has gotten me to pass on a sale that I was excited about or really interested in. I am at the grocery store. I'm super hungry for dinner. I grab the stuff that I want to cook. I go to check out, and every single checkout line has 10 to 15 people in it. And I'm like, okay, you're not making it very simple for me. And so I'll just walk out sometimes rather than bear with it. So same thing on your sales page or in your ad. If it's not simple for me to check out and if it's not simple for me to understand, you've always talked about if you put in the work to make it easy, the money will flow to you. But if you don't put in that work, the money's going to stay in their pocket. That's as true as ever in these examples.
Absolutely. And so the bottom line for this third one is remember to clearly and strongly ask for the order and tell them what to do as simply as you can. And I'm going to say that I want to thank all of these old masters for coming out of their graves for a few seconds. This concludes the first board meeting of the old masters. And hopefully you've gotten a lot of good ideas and helpful reminders, because you probably knew some of these things, maybe most of these things, but you're not doing all of these things for your videos.
All right. We're going to have more seances like this in the future, because I really dug this episode. I can't think of a better word for it right now. But thank you for putting this together, David. Thank you to all the gentlemen who joined us on this episode in their ethereal form. We do appreciate you showing up. And if you enjoyed this episode and you want to find more, maybe not quite like this one, but good high quality copywriting content, head on over to copywriterspodcast.com. You can find us there. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later. Hey, did you enjoy today's show? Want to help get it into the ears of more listeners? Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review on your favorite podcast app.
This is the Copy and Funnels Podcast Network.